Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only podcast made by real estate agents for real estate agents. My name is DJ Paris. I am your host through the show, and we're really excited and thrilled to have interviewed Matt Liss today, and his interview is coming up in just a couple quick announcements before we get started. First of all, we have doubled our readership, or listenership rather, yet again in the last month. So thank you for everyone who's listening and sharing this with a friend. So if you have other brokers in your office that, or other brokers you know in the industry that you think could benefit, in particular, we're getting a lot of good feedback from newer brokers who are looking to find out what the top producers are doing, which of course is exactly what we do here on the show. So feel free to share it with anyone and everyone you think could benefit. And secondly, we are also starting to take sponsorships. So I have a number of you that I need to get back to. So if you have a service that you would like to get in front of the ears of several thousand realtors every single episode, let me know, and you can sponsor a podcast. Easiest way to reach us is keepingitrealpod.com. There's a contact form there or on Facebook. And last, we have started getting questions from you as well, which is great because Carrie McCormick co-hosts an episode every month with me where she answers your questions. So keep them coming. You can email us directly through, or rather you can email us, but also send it right through our website, which is likely easier. So please do. Oh, and unfortunately, the audio that you are about to hear in this great, really awesome interview with Matt is not great. Here's the good news. His audio is perfect. He comes through absolutely crystal clear. It's me. Somehow I screwed up and my audio isn't clear. But here's the good news. You don't care about my audio because we're here to interview Matt. So even if some of my questions are a little quieter than I'd like them to be, don't worry. You'll be able to figure out exactly what Matt is talking about because he is the star of this episode anyway. So I apologize to Matt, not knowing that our audio was so choppy. And also his audio is great. So don't worry. It sounds fine. But I apologize to the listeners. So please listen through it. It's so good. Matt has such a great interview. So thanks so much, guys. And on to our interview with Matt Liss. Today on the show, we have Matt Liss, who is the broker owner of Mark Allen Realty. And Matt has been in the real estate and development business for over 10 years. During that time, he has bought and sold countless properties and developed both single family homes and condo conversions. Matt has successfully closed over 500 real estate transactions, earning him recognition from the Chicago Association of Realtors as one of the city's top producers. And he's earned that award from 2005 through today, 2017. Furthermore, he has earned the Chicago Five-Star Real Estate Agent Award from 2011, also through 2017, which is given to less than 2% of all realtors and based solely on the recommendations and feedback of their clients. Matt was born in Australia, but spent most of his life in the northern suburbs of Chicago. After spending 10 years in a vintage two-flat in Logan Square, Matt now resides in the West Loop, and he loves to spend time with his wife, Amy, his son, Caden, and his daughter, Talia. Well, tell us, because you've done so many different parts of real estate, tell us a little bit more about how you got started.
It's an interesting story. So raised by a single mother, my brother and I lived in Skokie with our grandmother until we were about 13. And I had that's my maternal grandmother, then had a really good relationship with my father's grandparents who lived in Rogers Park. They lived on the top floor of a two flat, and on the first floor was Rose and Abe. Amazing people. Abe was a Holocaust survivor and just a really hard worker and was in the real estate business. And had always kind of chatted with him about his endeavors and did a lot of stuff on the South Side and was just a genuinely good guy. I was in corporate America for quite a while, in the internet space for quite a while, and then that whole thing fizzled in 2000. And I was looking for something to do. Got a great severance package in 2000 and was trying to figure out my next path. My uncle and I had a good relationship, and he was in the landscape business. We decided to start buying houses, fixing and flipping them. That's where Abe, first floor guy in my grandparents' building, came into play. And he helped us kind of get started. And it just kind of grew legs from there. My uncle and I probably bought 10 or so homes on the South Side, did a decent amount of work ourselves. Hired some guys that, you know, for electrical, plumbing, and things like that. But we were both pretty handy and did a lot of work. And it was profitable, and we enjoyed it. A lot of flexibility. and started realizing how frustrating it was to work with some real estate brokers. So at that time, the Chicago Association of Realtors was offering what was called then education exempt. So I have a finance degree from University of Illinois at Chicago. And I just sat and took the test and had my license and was able to sell my own real estate. From there, Mark, my business partner, Mark Glusker, who he and I own Mark Allen Realty together, he was also education exempt, took the test, and we just started this brokerage, and that also grew legs. I had a good sphere of influence. I had a lot of friends that were starting to buy places, and I was a trustworthy person. I had decent knowledge of the Chicago market, and we just started this brokerage, and it just, again, grew legs from there.
Yeah, it's so interesting. There are, at our firm,
I can't hear you, DJ.
A lot of brokers, and a good chunk of them, are investors who, you know, through some sort of frustration, decided, hey, I can do this, or I'm already doing most of the work. I might as well get my license, and then decided to either continue doing their own investments or also working with the public, which sounds like basically what you...
Yeah, it was both, right? I started working with the public more and doing a little less development. Picked up a couple different business partners. My uncle moved to Arizona, and then I started working with this guy, Andrew, who was great. We did some condo conversions. We did some ground-up stuff, and the market fell apart in 08, and we got stuck with a building. We unwound out of it. It wasn't too damaging, but, we licked our wounds, and then the market kind of picked back up, and the brokerage business was always there for me, and I've been very fortunate.
Yeah, and you've been in real estate for such a long time. Do you see any trends for the future, whether it's or that brokers really you feel should be aware of? I imagine it's changed.
It has. You know, one of the things, and I've really enjoyed mentoring some of the younger brokers and some of the associates in my office, and one of the things I was taught by a guy who I really respect in this business, Ira Mizell. He's at Goldtree Realty. He's family-ish. It's my brother's wife's father. He's big in the foreclosure business. And he helped me buy my first place when I was 24. Just a really genuine guy. He said to me, stay focused. Don't put 10 eggs in the real estate basket. Like, focus on something that you really want to be good at and run with that. Don't try and do everything in this business because you won't be successful. And he stayed true to his game because he's a huge REO guy, and that market gets hot and cold too, but he stays focused. So I try and teach my guys to, you know, when they come in and the market's slow, they're like, hey, should we do foreclosures? Hey, should we focus on short sales? Hey, should we, you know, there's so many different ways to make money in this business. If you're going to be a real estate broker and focus on that.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It's that old expression, Jack of all trades, master of none, right? And it's so absolutely true. I think it's true in most facets of life, but certainly true in real estate. And I see it a lot on forums, in particular for investors, and not necessarily even brokers, but people who go on bigger pockets who really want to learn in the investment world, which is awesome. And then they're just overwhelmed and not quite sure. It's like, no, just hyper-focus on one type of investment. And, you know, within a period of time, it becomes you know, you become incredibly skilled and valuable. But in particular, being a broker is the same way. Do you focus in a particular geographic area or a certain type of client? Is there a certain specialty that you really are passionate about with now?
I wouldn't say by design I do, but our business, our office is in Bucktown. We've been here for 12 years, same space. And, you know, our business is on the North Shore, right? Or the north side of the city. We focus here in Bucktown, Logan Square, Wicker Park, Lakeview, Roscoe Village, things like that, places we're comfortable. We often get calls and people are, you know, looking in neighborhoods where we're not comfortable. And we're candid about that. We're saying, listen, we're probably not a good fit. This is where we focus our business. And I'm sorry, but, you know, we try and get them a referral. So we're just really this North Shore, North Side neighborhood focused brokerage, and we are a boutique shop, and we're going to stay that way. We've never really wanted to get the 20, 30, 50 agents in here to push volume. We really focus on customer service, getting in some really strong, educated, passionate brokers that have a really strong moral compass also. That's really something that I've focused on. taking care of the clients and understanding that this is a customer service business more so than anything. I think it's been really humbling to help so many people, you know, buy their home. And this is their largest purchase. And the fact that they're coming to me and then referring me to their friends and family, it's pretty awesome.
No, so I think that's so incredibly powerful what you said earlier about sort of walking away from business that isn't your core competency. And we were talking just before the interview about investments, which of course you have done, and you said you're starting to get back into, but you're like, it's really not my core competency. And I think that what in particular, you know, clients are always looking for in their brokers is authenticity and the ability for you to say, hey, that's, you know, I can help you, but it's not really what my specialty is in this particular area or this type.
So DJ, I'll tell you, I don't know if you know this, but we've gained our biggest popularity. We are the highest rated realtors in the entire city of Chicago on Yelp. That's where we have just shined. If you read some of my reviews, they all kind of say the same thing. It's like, Matt is just so incredibly blunt and so honest. And that's what I continue to hear, and almost to a fault, right? Like, I've talked people out of buying places, and you'll read that in a lot of my reviews. And it's pretty amazing how, and I don't do it intentionally. That's just who I am, right? I'm a very honest person, and it freaks some people out. But at the end of the day, they're like, wow, this was a pretty amazing experience considering this person. I could actually trust this person who I've never met.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, review sites like Yelp and Zillow and even Google, Facebook as well, they are the true equalizer. They are the acid test of what your clients think about you and the fact
that— Oh my God, it's so easy for someone to lambaste you.
Oh, for sure. And that's, you know, it's good and bad. And ultimately, you know, once the dust settles, you know, usually the truth sort of generally rises. And so Yelp is a particularly difficult system to use for anyone who's a business owner or a broker. And the fact that you are so highly rated on Yelp in particular is probably the least friendly to the business owner.
It is the largest double-edged sword out there.
Well, it's a true testament to what you must be doing with your clients. And let's talk about that a little bit. You know, aside from being bluntly honest, which I believe is, you know, maybe the most important part of being a successful realtor, or certainly up there, why else do you think, what do you think that it is, that, you know, aside from telling people, you know, what you think they should do, why else do you think you're so highly regarded from your clients?
I've thought about that, and sometimes, you know, every year January comes around and you're at zero, right? You have done zero business. You're looking at your leads. You're like, this, can I do this again? Like, you know, we've been so fortunate. The numbers have been amazing the past, I remember my first year in real estate, I was awarded the Chicago Association of Realtors Top Producer Award. I didn't even know that award existed, right? I mean, and I look at it and I see all these people's faces, like top producers. I was like, I think I want my picture on there one day. Like, that's cool. Like, who are all these people? And every year since I've been in business, I've been a top producer, and I constantly see these names. And now my face is on page one of these top producer things. It's amazing. I don't know, DJ. I really don't know what sets me apart, but I do know that on every listing appointment I go on, I either ask or the sellers are candid about telling me, and they're like, Matt, we're interviewing, you know, four brokers. I was like, okay, you know, and now I'm used to that, and I pretty consistently get the business. I don't know why, but I'm honest, and they see that. I mean, people are intuitive, and they understand someone that's genuine. I don't go in there with a giant dog and pony show and, you know, iPads flying and projectors and handouts. It's just me. It's me, my information, you know, and they see that.
Yeah, no, I think that's obviously very clear, and you know, it's so interesting to me because I interview a lot of top producers, and they oftentimes, more often than not, it's really infrequent and uncommon for somebody to say, like, I know exactly why I'm more successful than maybe most other brokers, and it's not even an ego thing. They just go, well, I just do what I do, which, you know, so I think there's a set of values there that you're clearly demonstrating to your client, and it's like, that's just what I do. It would be, you know, strange to even sort of think about, as you were saying, you're not quite sure why you're so successful, even though it's hard to verbalize. We have the same thing. I do recruiting. So whenever people ask about our firm, well, I built a website for our firm. And I looked around at a lot of the other, in particular, the big firms that do recruiting, and they don't tell you much information because a lot of, you know, they don't tell you fees, commissions, et cetera. And I thought, well, if I was a new broker, I would just want that information, and then I could make up my own mind what firm I wanted. And so I just did that. And then, you know, that's one of the things that's distinguished us is it's very similar to what you do. It's just this radical honesty. It's like, here's what it is. Here's how it works. And, you know, people tend to, obviously your clients respond to that incredibly well. Do you prefer working with buyers or sellers? You talked earlier about buying, so I wasn't sure if one was more, obviously you work with both, I'm sure, but is one more preferable to you?
No, neither are more preferable. I not by design, but we're almost 50-50 buyers and sellers. At the end of the year, I just look at some numbers and that's just the way it shakes out. And both are great. Honestly, there's some great, I mean, we have a good time on the street with buyers. You spend a little bit more time with them, becomes a little more intimate. You're in your car with them, sharing stories, you know, making fun of people, all good sites of good stuff. But it's, I have a really good time with buyers. The sellers, it's more of like a transaction, right? I mean, there's a lot of email communication. There's a couple phone calls, but you're not interacting with them personally because you're not out touring homes. So it becomes a little less personal. Fortunately, a lot of the sellers do become buyers because they're clearly moving somewhere, and they love me. So we just kind of build a relationship on that end. But yeah, both are great.
Yeah. You know, you talked about mentoring some of the brokers in your own office, and I know you guys have many. What advice do you give to new brokers, people getting into the industry just now? What are some, you know, thoughts you have about things they should do, maybe even things they shouldn't?
Sure. Our model here is a little different. We don't have a bunch of brokers. There's just a small core of us that do the majority of the business. And we don't hire new agents. Let's just start there. So we often get emails that say, hey, we'd love to come work with you, because they look at our reviews. They just kind of know our presence. And I say, here's a great idea for you. Go talk to the big five and get into a training program. And then once you've done 10 deals, come talk to me. I, for whatever reason, have a really keen sense for a person's worth, and I understand who's good and who's bad, and I have a pretty fun interview process, and I have found some great people. I have Howie in my office, who I just love. He's amazing, top producer. Cheryl Reimer, longtime runner for North Clybourne Group. She's with us now. She's beyond amazing. And then we have a couple of junior associates, Michael Bishop and Elise Martinez, who are just going to be superstars one day, but they're kind of running and helping us out, doing showings and taking buyers out. But that's our core group. And then Mark, he does some business here too, and it's fun. I mean, we have a really fun office.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you definitely do. And I also love the radical honesty of we don't take on new brokers. That is not a comment to you. You know, that might sound like,
oh, they're painful.
Well, it is painful, but at the same point, you know, it's. I just love, again, the willingness to sort of say that it's in our core competency. This is, you know, once you've got deals under your belt.
We don't have a training program. But what I do tell the agents that come work with me is saying, like, it's the old saying, like, you want to sit next to the smartest kid in the class. Like, you want to learn this business, come in this office and learn. We have open concept office, the lofted walls, everyone's able to hear everybody. So if I'm on a call, if you want to shut up and listen to me, you're going to learn some things. And that's what Howie's done. And I learned from Howie. And we're all learning from each other's phone calls and relationships and business experiences. And it's just, there is zero competition. Like, I am sure that at the big firms, same brokers are going and competing for the same business. We don't have that. We're more of a support group. We all help each other. And it's really cool. It's fun. I give everybody their own identity. So when Howie was starting off and he was helping me out, I said, Howie, every deal you get is under your name. This isn't a number that's going under the Matt List group. Like, that's crap. Like, I don't do that. Like, I want you to build your business, build your identity, and step off on your own and be an amazing broker. And that's what's happened.
Yeah. What advice would you have for new brokers or somebody getting in the business today, aside from, you know, maybe joining a firm that has a training program? What would you say to somebody who is newer?
I often tell people when they come is go and find some top producing groups that are doing teams and just start getting showings under your belt, because I'm a big fan. I'm not a huge education person as far as learning in classroom. I was always a hands-on learner. So my thing is just get out and do the job and you're going to learn on the street. Start showing properties, start taking buyers out. And the only way to do that when you're new is get on a team and just help. And if you can do that, I think it's a really good way to build your confidence, start seeing the other listing broker and buyer's broker on the other side of how they present themselves during showings. So just absorb, and, you know, figure out what your style is going to be. And everyone's different, right? I mean, there are some brokers that are hilarious during showings and just like, this is the bathroom. I'm like, really? That's the bathroom? Amazing. Thank you for telling me. Like, you know, just pick some highlights to tell the home, to tell the consumer about the home, and don't just helicopter and just cruise through every room telling us what's going on, because a lot of it's very intuitive.
That's true. And you're so right, though. It's like, just get some reps under your belt, right? Like, get some reps. You know, I've always suggested to newer brokers, you know, if you're on a team or if you work at a firm where there's other brokers, offer to do open houses for them, just to get experience.
Totally.
You know, is it going to generate buyers? Probably not, maybe, but at the very
least. No, it does.
Well, it might, yeah. It's funny. It's so funny because I talk to a lot of brokers, many of which are like, oh, open houses, you know, they don't like them, they don't work. And then you meet somebody who goes, no, they're totally wrong. They absolutely work. And
they're wrong. They are right. Wrong. I'm going to tell you right now, they're wrong. If you go into it with a crappy attitude and you're just kind of sitting back and, you know, your lunch is on the table and you're just kicking it and people come in and you're like, hey, have a look. No, you want to show them your personality. You want to show them who you are, just like any listing presentation. These buyers are typically unrepped or out just cruising around. And if you can wow them and build a rapport, nobody's loyal in this business. If they find someone better, more entertaining, more educated, they're going to want to work with you. And I myself don't do a ton of open houses, but I do a fair share. And I have personally picked up several buyers, several new listings from open houses. And I know my agents have as well. So if you don't think you can, you are wrong.
Yeah, awesome. And I love that. And I think it's so funny because I love when people say things like that where they're just like, no, they don't work. And I just, okay, you know, but if I know that they do work for other people. It's kind of like the same thing with buying internet leads. Some people do, some people don't, and that's certainly fine whether someone does or doesn't. But I love when people say, oh, buying leads from Zillow or Trulia doesn't work. And I'm like, well, I know it actually does work because I know people that it works for, but it just isn't what you're good at or what you want to do, and that's fine. Same thing with open houses. Some people are like, it doesn't work, and it's like, I know it works for other people.
When you're doing an open house, when you're a new broker and you're doing an open house, create an experience. And I'm not saying have a circus there with like a magician, but you know, I've told my brokers, bring a little speaker. Don't have it completely silent. Play a little music, bring a little something. You could bring coffee. You could, you know, just, it's $15 to bring, you know, a box of coffee and some cups, and it just breaks the ice.
Yeah, speaking of breaking ice, I wanted just to touch on a few of the things you had told us before we got on the air. You were actually hit by a dog at a listing appointment.
I was. That was hilarious. That was last year. So I of course, remember exactly where I was. I was in like this little townhome community over by Diversity and the lakefront. And really nice woman, found me online, didn't know her from Adam. And she invites me in. And often when you go to someone's house, I always ask, should I take my shoes off? Because it's just polite. Sure. And she was like, yeah, so fine. And then I always do a quick tour of the house just so I can get a feeling. And just for new brokers, since this is kind of the topic of this. So when you're going on a listing presentation, one of my tips is always when tour the house first before you start talking. And the old kind of saying is find something that's familiar to you or that you can relate to that they maybe do. Maybe you see like a snowboard somewhere and you're a snowboarder. Or maybe you see some mountain bike pictures or you see, you know, they're in academia. And just bring it up during the listing presentation so you can find a common ground. People eat that up and then you just kind of build this friendship or relationship with this person that's beyond you just as a broker. You're have a similar interest and it works often. So little trick. So I'm at this listing presentation. We've done the tour. We're sitting down and we're talking and this dog's just corner eyeing me. And I love dogs. I don't trust anyone else's dogs, but I love dogs. So we're sitting there and all of a sudden this dog under the table bites my foot, like legit bit my foot. I did not take my sock off at the presentation, but afterwards I did, and it was full on bleeding. The dog bit my foot, and I told the lady, I'm like, oh my, I jumped up. She's like, what happened? I'm like, your dog just bit me. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And she said, she actually bites my mom a lot. So maybe this is a good sign. I was like, I was like, okay. And she would not put the dog away. Like, I was like, can you just, you know, without destroying this, I actually got the listing appointment. Or I got the listing, but the dog was just corner-eyeing, growling at me. I was like, oh, this is horrible.
That I think you'd have to get the listing at that point. So
you do. It helped pay for the stitches.
Guilt is a powerful motivator, right? That's really funny, and probably not the first time a broker's been bit. But I'm always amazed. But again, what to me is most interesting of that story is not so much that you got bit, but it's that the homeowner who has seen her dog bite other people doesn't occur to the homeowner to like maybe put the dog in the other room. But that's pet owner.
Seriously, no. I was amazed, but yeah, it happened.
Yeah, that's funny. And I mean, I'm sort of guilty of the same thing. My dog doesn't bite people, but I bring her to the office, and what happens when somebody leaves our office, and I have like an internal office space here with the door, but I leave it open. When people leave our physical building, the dog oftentimes, she's a 7-pound chihuahua, she's tiny, but she will run, race after that person, not bite them, but sort of growl at them as they're leaving. And I think it's funny.
Yeah.
But it's probably not funny to somebody who doesn't know that's coming. And I've been, for 7 years, I've just let her do it. I probably, it's a good reminder, I should not let people walk away.
7-pound chihuahuas can be ferocious.
They are absolutely one of the most aggressive breeds.
They
can't do much damage, but it is still pretty scary. And then I just wanted to real quickly also talk about a funny experience you had where it was your daughter's best friend's mother.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, that was funny. So Anthony was a client of mine previously, and he calls me out of the blue, like everyone does. And they're like, hey, Matt, I'm looking to buy a house. I'm getting engaged, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Good for you. Awesome. So I'm like, all right, let's, you know, get a tour set up. When are you looking at? We get the whole thing done via telephone. I'm just getting like his parameters set up and starting to see things. So we meet at the first property, and I'm, you know, give Anthony a hug. I haven't seen him. And then his fiance pulls up, and she looks remotely familiar. I mean, I hadn't, you know, whatever, I didn't pay much attention. And she's like, Matt? And I'm like, yep. And I didn't know who she was. I just thought he introduced, you know, he told her about me. And she's like, you don't know who I am? I'm like, no. She's like, our daughters are best friends.
Oh, no.
I'm like, and this was young. My daughter just got into first grade at Skinner, and it was like a new relationship, blah, blah, blah. She's like, this, and she had my daughter at her house several times. Clearly not super involved with my kids. No, I'm joking. I totally am. My wife had dropped her off a couple times for play dates, and she shows me a picture of my daughter. It was just really small world stuff. So they've since become really good friends of ours. My daughter's still best friends with her daughter, Sienna, and they're just a good family. But yeah, it's hilarious.
Well, and also you meet people for a living, so it's easy to not always remember every face. You know, if you worked in an office where you just had the same 5 coworkers all day and that's all it was, it would probably be much easier to, oh, that's my daughter's, you know, friend.
I mean, so my kids think it's hilarious. Everywhere I go, people are like, Matt. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so a lot of them I don't remember. Oh, we were on a cruise a couple of years ago, and someone's screaming from, like, 2 decks below my name. And I look up, I'm like, oh, it's my client Jeremy. Great.
Hilarious. Well, you know, Matt, I think you have said it all. And let's talk about how, if anyone's listening who is interested, buying and selling, investing, renting, Matt would be honored to speak with you. What's the best way someone could reach out to you?
Email's great. Love it. Just easy to respond and set up a time to meet and talk. MattL@markallenrealty.com, and it's MarkAllenRealty.com, or just go to Yelp and type in realtor. We'll just come up top of the list because that's just where we're at.
And again, I can't say enough about what a huge, massive accomplishment that is.
Thanks, appreciate
it. Congratulations. Well earned and deserved. So, Matt, thank you so much for being on the show. And I apologize. I have to tell everyone, I have never been late to an interview except for today. And I was 18 minutes late. Matt, it's been so kind.
No, I'm back charging you, DJ. I told you.
the check will be, well, you know, it's actually not going in the mail. But I will, if I ever see you out, I'll flip you a few dollars.
Or a beer. Yeah, no worries. It was good talking with
there
you guys.
Go. All right, Matt. Well, thank you so much, and take it.
All right, thanks for hosting. I appreciate it, and good luck to all those new agents out there. It's a fun business for sure.